Hi and welcome to St. George's. This is our first week online and we haven't managed to record the sermon during the service, but here it is for all of you who couldn't make it. We're continuing our series in 2 Corinthians, looking at chapter 5. What is your experience of life in the body like? Yesterday, I had a video call with my parents. Mom was in her bed at the nursing home and Dad was battling with technology. This week, I've spoken with some of you who are grieving the death of a parent. I've spoken with some of you who are more or less in constant pain. Some of you lament as your body slows down with age. Some of you experience disability. I can still remember the awkwardness of being a teenager and with all the intense physical and emotional changes going on. Some of us feel a sense of alienation from our own bodies. And of course, we are all aware of the fragility of our bodies through COVID-19. Life in our bodies is a complicated and frustrating experience. The Apostle Paul was no stranger to the frustrations and frailties of bodily life. In 2 Corinthians, he recounts his experiences, what happened to his body. But he also shows how the events of Jesus' death and resurrection shape how he approaches life in the body and how we might too. He shows us how to make sense of bodily life in the present with all its challenges, and he points to our hope for the future and how that shapes how we might live in the present. And we need that, whether you are a Christian or checking this whole Christianity thing out. And that's what our text, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 to 10, is all about. We'll look at 2 points, bodily hope and living now. So point 1, verses 1 to 5, bodily hope. Have a read with me, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. Now we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. I have to say there is some irony in preaching from this passage on our first day back in St. George's building. St. George's may be more than a tent, but it has definitely been falling apart. And we love its beauty, but it's definitely not an eternal house. And my kids have drawn some great pictures of the human hands that have been working on the building over the past 18 months. And even as we come back to church in the building, hand sanitizer, physical distancing, 1.5 meters, elbow bumps, they all remind us of the fragility of our bodies. In this verse, Paul isn't talking about a building, but our bodies. And he uses the picture of a tent to contrast this with a house, a building. You live in a tent or a house, and we live now in our bodies. As a tent is to a house, so is our present mortal body to the new body that God has promised us in Jesus. In Philippians, Paul says that God will transform our lowly bodies. The King James says the body of our humiliation, that it may be like his glorious body, Jesus' glorious body. Notice that the future promised life is bodily life. You know, sometimes we can think that Christian hope is the soul freed from its prison of the body, kind of escaping to float off in the clouds in heaven when we die. But actually, the New Testament has a far grander and richer hope than this. It's a physical hope. Yes, all those who die in Christ are now safe in heaven with him, but they and we await the resurrection of our bodies and the renewal of all things. In verse 2, Paul changes the picture to clothing. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, because when we're clothed, we'll not be found naked. For while we're in this tent, We groan and are burdened because we don't wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up with life. The picture of life that God has promised is not the naked soul freed from its clothing of the body. It's more that our current bodies, well, they're a bit shabby and tattered, and we long to put on the resplendent robes of glory. It's kind of going from dumpster fashion to catwalk fashion. The future heavenly dwelling, the future body that God has for us, is more real, more substantive, more glorious than our present body. You know that body I'm talking about? The one with the wrinkles, the one that finds it hard to get up in the morning with the aches and pains, whose limbs don't work quite as they used to, that gets tired and crabby, the one that's kind of breaking down, the face that stares back in you in the mirror. Is that your experience of bodily life? Groaning, frustrated, burdened. You know, I've touched on aging and the sense of frustration and alienation that that can bring. But sickness and disability can make us feel alienated from our own bodies. Body image, eating disorders, sexuality, gender, they all can make our bodies complicated, bewildering, even agonizing. Life in the body is tough. And growing up, it can take us years to feel comfortable in our own skin. And some people never do. Or maybe you've kind of just made an uneasy truce with your body. Despite your differences, you have to live together. The Bible here is not anti-body, as some would have it. Rather, it's realistic about bodily life. And this helps us make sense of our experience of life in the body. We groan and we're burdened. Sometimes we're terrified that we might be left naked if people really knew what was going on inside, what I've done. We're ashamed, terrified of being exposed. We may even rage against God for the mess of our bodily life. Well, listen again to God's word in verse 5. Now, it's God who's made us for this very purpose, and he has given us the Spirit as a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. What's that very purpose for which God has made us? It's that we may be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. That is God's purpose for you. Life, immortality, glory. And back in chapter 3, verse 18, we saw that it is being transformed more and more into the likeness of Christ with ever increasing glory. If you trust in Jesus, then that is what God is at work in you to bring about, to do by the power of his Holy Spirit. That glory is your future. The same Spirit who is now at work in you is the deposit guaranteeing your inheritance. If you trust in Jesus, God has given you his Holy Spirit, and you belong to him, and he will bring you to glory. Is that your hope? Point 2, living now, verses 6 to 10. This hope teaches us how to live in the present. Have a look with me at verse 6. Therefore, we're always confident and know that as long as we are away from, at home in the body, we're away from the Lord. We live by faith and not by sight. We're confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. That secure future, guaranteed by the Holy Spirit himself, gives us confidence in the present. Whatever we experience, sickness, suffering, difficulty, on the other hand, all the good things of life, well, we're never really quite at home in our bodies. Our true home is with the Lord, and he will bring us there. Indeed, the only path to glory is through suffering, just as it was for Jesus. Of course, these things are not seen except by the eye of faith. And this is one of the great challenges of Christianity, to walk by faith and not by sight. The caricature of faith is that it's blind, that faith is opposed to reason and in spite of the evidence, even contrary to the evidence. The counter, of course, is the supreme confidence in reason and one's own ability to assess all the evidence and come to the necessary and inevitable conclusion. But life is really much more complex than that. To be human is to live amidst uncertainty. And the lurking fear for the confident rationalist is that maybe their unbelief is untrue. Faith is like a forbidden fruit, tempting and threatening the closed world of materialism. For the Christian, faith has its reasons. I'm happy to lend you books on the evidence for the life and work of Jesus, for example. At the same time, though, faith goes beyond cold reason and rationalism. The word faith itself in the Hebrew means to take one's stand on something, to believe in something. In his introduction to Christianity, former Pope Benedict writes, "Faith in God is a holding on to God through which man gains a firm foothold for his life." Faith in God is a holding on to God through which man gains a firm foothold for his life. In the end, you see, faith is not pulling yourself up by your own intellectual bootstraps, but receiving God's gift of love in Christ and finding in him a solid ground upon which to stand and from which to explore the world and even yourself. The loss of faith and the loss of the hope of glory, I suggest, has led to the existential anxiety that grips Western culture. We no longer know how to deal with suffering. We're at war over what it is to be human. And without the hope of the resurrection of the body, the frustrations and alienations of bodily life have to be totally answered in the here and now. And we attempt to change the world, society, even our very bodies, to overcome that alienation. COVID-19 has reminded us that we are, in fact, finite. There is a limit to what science and politics can accomplish. Yes, we work for justice now in this world, but our world needs to be healed and remade from the outside, and we do as well. In these verses, Paul offers us a path to take while we wait for that day. We place our hope and confidence in the God who raises the dead. And verse 9 tells us how to approach our present bodily existence with all its fragilities and ambiguities. So we make it our goal to please him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done in the body, whether good or bad. The day of the resurrection of our bodies is also the day of judgment. It's what we confess each week in the Creed. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead. Judgment too is actually our hope, or at least it ought to be, because it's when Christ will bring in God's perfect and complete justice to this hurting world. Yes, we too will be judged. Our deeds will be exposed. What we have done or not done to advance Christ's kingdom of truth and love and justice will be seen. But Paul is confident. In the power of the Spirit, we can hope even to please God through what we do in our bodies. You, in your fragile and weak body, can please God, as you worship Him, as you love your neighbor, as you offer your body to God in worship, as you live in obedience to Christ. There's great comfort and joy as we meet back together in person here, and I am so pleased to see so many of you. But we are still in the frail tent of these bodies, and our true home is with the Lord. We long for glory. And so today, if you are here at St. George's, I invite you to place, and if you're online actually, I invite you to place your hope and your trust in Jesus and His promises. Maybe for the 100th time, maybe for the first time. May the words of confession be your own. Hear Jesus' words of forgiveness to you. Receive those tokens of love in the Lord's Supper. Be nourished at His table and commit yourself again to offer your body, weak and frail, yes, in worship to Him, in the mighty power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.